ever wanted to break out of your cubicle and into a business where you can call the shots? You Break Guy Fix is looking for passionate self-starters interested in a franchise opportunity in the booming electronics repair industry. At You Break Guy Fix, we help reconnect people to the devices that they rely on so that they can get back to what matters most. This is a big responsibility. And from the moment you join our family, our franchisees are provided with the resources and support to bring affordable and convenient electronics repair to your community. Did we mention that with amazing partners like Samsung and Google, You Break Guy Fix franchisees also have access to the highest quality parts and personalized training out there, as well as specialized tools? It's true. And it's also easy to visit youbreakifix.com/franchising and learn more about your big break at your very own You Break Guy Fix.
This is Jen Kelly with the Louisiana Hospitality Foundation, and you're listening to Flourish Truly.
Good evening, beautiful people, and happy Tuesday. This is Tina and Jeff with this week's episode of Flourish Truly. Hey, Jeff, happy December.
It is December, and it feels like it. It's cold outside.
Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, you can call it that.
I love Christmas.
That's right. All the Christmas movies are now in full swing, and the Christmas music everywhere you go. So you are in Wonderland, literally.
Yes, I am. I'm in a winter, literally winter wonderland today. The tree is up. It was a chilly 29 degrees this morning with frost on the grass.
They told me it was 36, but I went outside to a frozen car and frost on the roof. And I said, well, it's probably 36, like 3 miles that way.
But yeah, they're wrong. They're always wrong. Just like when they predict it's going to storm and it doesn't, you change all your plans. Or the hurricane's not coming here, which we all know this year was not true. So, yes. And speaking of, with it being December 1st, we are officially out of hurricane season, which really means absolutely nothing because storms can come. But the official end of hurricane season was yesterday. Today is December 1st, and it is officially the holiday season, even though a lot of us know that you've already decorated and started watching those movies and musics. Excuse me, not me at all.
Yeah, right. But yes, nobody's buying that.
Yes, but this is a wonderful time and the weather is just absolutely beautiful. And we're going to stay relatively cool for the next week. It's not going to be as cold as it was this morning, but it will feel like winter, which is really nice because nobody feels like it's Christmas time when you're wearing t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops outside.
That's true. It kind of ruins the mood a little bit. Now we've had them. We've had those Christmas days that have been like, 79, 80 degrees, and you go, this is quite awkward. But
I remember one very much in particular when I got up. It was our first year in our new house, and I was so excited to get up and cook and our new kitchen. I had everything decorated and I got all dressed up and I was in this really cute little red Christmas sweater. And by, I think maybe an hour or two, I had to go change and put on t-shirt and shorts because I was sweating. I had the oven on. I had to put the air conditioner on. It was just this. I'm like, this is not Christmas. This is not Christmas.
Yeah. That's when you go, is it Christmas or is it the 4th of July? I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't like that. And you know, when you're cooking for the holidays, your oven's on, you're baking, you're running around doing this, doing that. And it just makes the house so much hotter. So if it's already like 70, 80 degrees outside, and of course I don't want it to be in the 20s. I just want it to feel cool. I just want it to be cool and be comfortable and go outside and it feel like Christmas. I will always remember the Christmas of 2004 because that year it snowed. And that is something that we will probably never see again in our lifetime. Our kids will probably never see in their lifetime because it doesn't snow here that often. And for it to happen on Christmas Day is even a more rare thing. So
just snow here. You know, I know people that really have grown up here and never really seen snow. They've never really experienced it. And first time I did, I was actually out in Arizona. We went up to the top of the mountain there in Tucson, and it's snow covered. It looked like Colorado, but I know people here that really, that's the only snow they've ever known is that. But then when you go not that far north, you've seen it happen in Dallas, you've seen it happen in Shreveport, you've seen it happen in Atlanta, where the cities get absolutely locked, jammed, shut down because they don't have all the snow melting stuff, the salts,
all of that they're not used to
make the roads clear, you know?
Just, I mean, I have friends in Shreveport and they get snow a lot more often than we do. My mother was from New York, so I used to hear the stories all the time about, I had to walk so many miles to school in the snow. And, but I mean, they're equipped for it, whereas we don't. I think DOT tries to do as much as they can with the interstate system and be able to where you can drive on it. But I mean, you know, like, was it last year? I think that we had a deep freeze and there was ice on the road and they had to close the interstate system. They told everybody don't go out driving in it because it was too dangerous because we're just not equipped for that here. So
I guess I'm used to it. It takes a different kind of skill to drive on ice than it does just to drive on even wet roads like we're used to doing. Mm-hmm. But to drive on ice, you've really got to, yeah, we can't drive on wet roads either, but we can't drive on dry roads. But you have to really have a particular skill and be used to when you're kind of sliding around on the road and which direction to turn the wheel and everything else. It can go bad real fast.
Very much so. So I'm grateful. I know we complain a lot here in the South about the heat, the humidity, hurricanes, but honestly, I wouldn't live anywhere else. I love it here. At least with hurricanes, we know when they're coming so that we can prepare. It's not like when they have earthquakes or tornadoes, we do have that preparation. I'm not a cold weather person at all. I mean, and the rule of thumb is if you're born in the winter, you like the summer and vice versa. And I am a winter baby. I'm a December baby. I do not like the cold weather, although I do like everything about Christmas. I like the movies and the hot cocoa and stuff. That this kind of weather, like this morning, having that, you know, weeks on out, I couldn't deal with it. But I mean, it does feel nice. So this is my time of year. It's very festive. And after the year we've had, I think having this time of the year with our family and friends and so many fun things to do around the city going on, it's just something that's been much needed. And it's been a great, like the last week. And I don't know if it has to do with our Saints playing so well. It was announced yesterday, they are the number one defense in the NFL. And it was a strange game.
It's the strangest game I've seen.
It was a very strange game because all four of the quarterbacks for Denver were on the COVID list. They didn't follow the rules. So every one of their quarterbacks were out and they had their rookie wide receiver who had played quarterback previously be their starting quarterback. And I commend him for going out there because let me tell you, if it was me, I think I would have like hit underneath a rock. I commend the kid. I really did for the kind of pressure that he had. But of course the game, it was very vanilla. From what I just heard, and a lot of people were criticizing the game plan and Taysom Hill, but from what I just heard yesterday evening, that game plan was changed literally at the last minute, which would explain some of the questionable things that happened. But regardless, it was a win, and now we roll on to the Falcons.
That's right. I tell you, it was really interesting to watch it. And Sean Payton talked about last night about how they were on the plane to Denver. And they had already drawn up a plan. They were already dealing with the Armstead situation and kind of COVID within their own team a little bit. But then they're getting the news that they don't have any quarterbacks, that they're going to have a wide receiver starting at quarterback. And I have to really commend Sean Payton, which is oddly enough, something I don't do very much, but I have to commend Sean Payton for taking that approach. All right. If you're not going to have a passing game, then we're not going to have a passing game. And we're going to play an old school grind out type of football game. And that's exactly what it was.
It was. And a lot of people had complained for a long time that, you know, you have Alvin Kamara, you have Latavius Murray. Why aren't we running the ball more? Well, guess what? You got your wish. And I do. I looked at it too after I was thinking to myself. I said, you know, he played a fair game, knowing the circumstances that Denver was in with their quarterback. I mean, we could have went in there and, you know, blew the, I mean, if Drew would have been playing, could you imagine? I mean, not a dig at Taysom at all. Cause I'm sure, you know, if we'd have passed more, we've got the offensive weapons to do it, but I mean, it was a blowout to begin with. Could you imagine what would have happened had they probably went with their original game plan?
Well, you know, I think the funniest thing I saw all week was that it'll be the first NFL game where there's no quarterback on the field. And in reality, it's true. Taysom Hill is not your prototypical quarterback. He's really more of a tight end, special team. Both sides, you kind of had this odd situation going on. And I think that, you know, Sean Payton said, we want to just make sure that we don't make mistakes. We don't give them opportunities. And we want to play a grind out physical game. And the defense did exactly that. They were pressuring, and not just pressuring a guy that didn't have experience. They were pressuring a line that was very experienced, that was, you know, that's really gelled together well this year. And they could not hold up on them. So now we're at three straight games where we've kept an opponent under double digits. Mm-hmm. And
only given up one touchdown over 4 weeks.
Exactly. And our good friend Mike Dettillier said last night, the Saints have now made a record 54 straight games without allowing a 100-yard rusher. And that is very, very interesting, considering you played a team this weekend that has a running game but no quarterback at all. You would think if there was an opportunity to have a 100-yard rusher, this would have been the Broncos this week.
And there was a lot of talk about that. And the pregame shows, they were saying that. They said that they wouldn't be surprised if this is the week that record was broken. And you know, obviously it wasn't. And of course, we're glad. And I mean, it came out yesterday. They said that they expected the Saints to be on top of the NFL as far as their defense. And they are. And I mean, and for all of us complaining at the beginning of the season, you know, how rusty and the crazy mistakes. And then we didn't know how things were going to wind up, you know, with COVID. And then the pickup of Quan Alexander. I mean, this has just exceeded my expectations. They always say if you have a top five offense and a top five defense, you're an extremely competitive team and you could make it there all the way down the stretch. But I mean, for us, it's always been our offense has carried us. Even when we had middle of the pack or, you know, the lower pack defense rankings, it's Drew Brees and that offense always carried us. And now we are the number one ranked defense in the NFL, which is just absolutely incredible. And something I never thought I would say in recent years.
Right. No, it's really something to watch. And I think we're seeing that special cohesiveness that you need to have in a championship franchise that's starting to happen. Now, I say that very gingerly because I think the Saints' first real test in a while happens this Sunday. This Sunday, did you watch, you know, the Raiders are a good football team.
They are.
They sat us down real
quick. The Falcons crushed them.
The Falcons made them look like the little sisters of the poor.
They rose up finally.
they rose up from the dead and made a statement. And that puts them in a very interesting position because, you know, with the expanded playoffs this year, the Falcons run the table. Well, you got to kind of keep an eye on that statistically. And this is a team that started, 0-6? So you've got a team that is coming together at the right time. And we know that it isn't always about your body of work throughout the season. It's about when you come together and when you make that push. And that's teams that win championships. I'm not saying that the Falcons are a championship team by any means.
But you don't take them for granted. You don't take any team for granted.
You cannot take this team lightly
whatsoever. Especially because there is so much rivalry between the fan bases and the players. And they know it. I mean, they see the jokes online. I mean, whoever handles their social media account on Twitter for the Falcons, I mean, they make the jokes. They know. They see. You know, the Saints, whoever handles our account, they do the same thing. They go back and forth with jabs. The fans go back and forth. I say I have some followers that I have a good relationship with. We go back and forth throwing jabs. We don't take it too seriously. But, I mean, it is a rivalry between these two teams. So you do not take them for granted. I mean, they literally just crushed. I sat there and after I saw it, the highlights, and I said, how did we lose to the Raiders? Like, how did that happen? Like, because, I mean, I know we're a better team than the Falcons. And then they just played, you know, Las Vegas, and they crushed them. I'm like, what's going on here? Like, what with Twilight Zone? It was just, it was crazy. So you don't want to take them for granted this week. And especially because we're playing, you know, on their turf. So it's just, it's going to be one of those, playing on our turf, and it's going to be one of those games. And we're looking at it from a standpoint of, you know, we are literally like 2 to 3 games away. If depending on how things fall, because I hate to say too early, but I mean, the Bucs lost this week, we could take the division again and set a record for the NFC South as well.
Well, you know, I think that you're putting the cart before the horse. And I'll tell you what, because number one, you've got Atlanta this week and you're playing Atlanta at home. So even regardless of the records of these two teams, regardless of the play during the season, you throw the records out. The Saints-Falcons is still a rivalry game. And where it's different than I find in a lot of the other rivalries in the NFL is the players feel it. So it's not just a fan rivalry that you have in some of the other rivalries in the league. You have a legitimate rivalry that the players are understanding of, the coaching staffs are understanding of, and this is a grind-out battle. And part of that is because if you look at the history of these teams, they came in pretty much at the same time. They're the two teams that have been lumped together since the beginning. There is a bitter historic rivalry between Atlanta and New Orleans as cities that we'll talk about in an upcoming episode, I'm sure. But that is completely unrelated to football. But if you really look at what this team is doing right now and what they did on Sunday, I think they were completely embarrassed against us and have now turned the table and said, all right, we're ready. If the Raiders was a preparation game, watch out. Now, right after that, you've got, I think it's a gauntlet. You're still on the road. You're playing Philadelphia. That is not a cakewalk game, even though they really had a tough time of things last night with Russell Wilson taking them down. But, you know, and then you've got the Chiefs. You've got the Vikings. You've got a very difficult schedule ahead of you.
Which I said this at the beginning of the season. That is my birthday. That is the hardest game on the schedule. Everybody knows how close we were to drafting Patrick Mahomes.
The Bucs lost 3 games in a row here. And all the experts are saying, and I got to agree with them, I don't think they lose another game because that is not that team's MO. And they were getting their butts handed to them. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, they were getting their butts handed to them by the Chiefs and still almost came back and won that game. So I really think there's a lot of, I think the division has gotten more interesting. I think Carolina is kind of fallen off. I think they have a lot of problems to address, but I think they do realize they do have a franchise quarterback at this point. But I'm not ready to crown the Saints with a dang thing just yet.
Well, all we have to do is win these next 2 games. And then depending on how the chips fall, it's there. It can happen is what I'm saying. It can happen. But we have to, again, get past the Falcons this week.
It is
we have
a to get statistical past the possibility, yes.
So, but the Chiefs game concerned me, and it's concerned me since day one. That was the first thing when I looked at the schedule. I said, and that was obviously before we knew limited attendance and, you know, how bad things were going to be with COVID and what was going to happen as far as fans being at the game. But that was the first thing I said when the schedule came out. I was like, oh, what a great game. And then I went, wow. I said, why do y'all have to play the Chiefs on my birthday? Because that was one of the games, again, that I figured, you know, we were going to lose. And of course, now where we're at, you know, after winning so many in a row and where we're, you know, we're seated, I don't want us to lose. But I mean, the possibility is there. I don't want to sound like a homer because the truth is, I mean, they're a tough team. I mean, the Chiefs, they have so much talent, and Mahomes is that comeback kid. He reminds me of Drew in so many ways. And it's just, it's crazy to think to me if the Chiefs wouldn't have jumped off us in the draft that Patrick Mahomes could be a Saint right now.
Well, and that was, you know, I think that if you listen to the talk that comes out of people who are familiar with the team, the talk that comes out of the team, that was really what the plan was. And so there were some things that happened, and Patrick Mahomes is a Chief, and he is making history as a Chief. And look, I love the guy.
Yeah, no, it's hard to I'm glad he's in the AFC, but I mean, honestly, there's not much you can say negative about him. He's a good kid. I mean, he's a leader, a good role model off the field. I mean, him and his fiance have been together since like grade school.
And he's been this way since day one.
Yes.
This is exactly you talk about Drew Brees, and people always look for those, and I've been guilty of it in the past too. I look for little things to nitpick. You know what I didn't like? I didn't like that Drew Brees still lived in San Diego and only lived here during the regular season. I gave him a lot of hell about that previously. Now I realize that when you have a guy that is that great of a humanitarian, somebody who really cares about the people he's around, the people he plays with, the people he plays against, everything, those people are not very easy to come across anymore. And especially somebody with so much talent. Look at the thing with Tom Brady. Tom Brady gets a lot of flack because he's kind of a jerk at times. He's really kind of a jerk at times. I know. Look, the guy, I think that he comes from a different background. I find the story of his family very interesting. And
at Acuity Insurance, we believe the things you do for your business are heroic, and you deserve someone equally heroic to protect them. We put our all into covering your business so you can focus on the things you love most. That's the power of heart. Acuity Insurance, wholeheartedly for you.
His own tribulations that he's been through in his career. And I respect Tom Brady, but he's not that caliber that we talk about with a Drew Brees.
No.
Where that's a guy that you put on the Mount Rushmore of New Orleans Saints football, NFC South football, and sometimes just in New Orleans people altogether. This is a guy that has done so much.
He has put his mark on New Orleans, and 25, 30 years from now, we'll look back, hopefully. And, you know, but I mean, somebody will look back 25, 30 years from now, and Drew's legacy on and off the field will still be a part of New Orleans, just like Archie's is, you know. And Archie, I love you, Archie, but he didn't do nearly as much as Drew did for the city. But you know what I'm saying? Like 30
Archie,
years from now,
Archie was also working at a car dealership while being the quarterback.
But 30 years from now, Drew Brees' legacy on and off the field, the things he's done for the community, the city, and what he did for the Saints will never be forgotten. And that type of player. And it goes to show you just how much of a competitor and how dedicated he is to the sport. I had to laugh because Mike Nabors did a phone interview with him, and Drew was at his house and said it was so hard for him to watch the game, and that he was with his call sheet the entire time. you have to love that dedication. You really do. You know, he should be resting right now. And then there he is. He said, you know, he had his call sheet the whole time, and he's like watching it and he's yelling at the television. And that's just our Drew. We don't expect anything less of him at this point.
No. And I tell you what's amazing about this football team. And I know we've talked about the Saints a good bit already, but one thing to really talk about, we started the show talking about Sean Payton and the way he game planned and really made it a fair competition, even though it obviously wasn't from the beginning. But we have these characters that people that have even gone to other cities and been considered problem children, it's like they come back into the fold and they are part of this thing that's bigger than themselves. Mm-hmm. We don't have those personalities that are me, me, me. This is us, us, us. And it's not just us in terms of the men that are on the football field. It is us in terms of this metropolitan area that we always say, watch what you say about New Orleans, because you're saying it about us. And that's for our football team, our basketball team, our politician, our anything. You're saying it about us. We got your back.
And I've and we'll end our Saints talk on this note, because I've always said this. And people say, y'all take your football team so serious. I'm like, you don't understand what this team means to the community, though. It's so much more than the game. In a time, and it goes back to Katrina, in a time where everybody gave up on us, you know, the Saints did so much for this community. These guys came here, you know, Drew came here, Reggie was drafted. And I mean, they literally lifted up the city on their backs, and that dome coming game will always be remembered. So yes, it is much more than football here. I mean, win or lose, we love that team. They're part of us and we're part of them. So
yeah, they wouldn't want it any, and that's why we have so many guys that really like being here. It pains me when I think about, you know, somebody like Anthony Davis, who really had such a stronghold on the community here. And not that he left. I don't get mad at players for leaving. I want you to better yourself. It's the way you leave. If you leave in that way, you're dead to me. And that's a way a lot of us feel when it comes down to it. So I hope that, you know, we can take some of these younger guys, a guy like Zion Williamson, who is really already making a massive impact, not only with the Pelicans and the NBA, but on the city itself.
Yeah, he's embraced New Orleans.
From those lessons about how not to do it. Because look, we understand we're a small market. We're not going to get the press and we're not going to get the advertisements like you will in New York and Los Angeles and some other cities, but we are going to embrace you harder than anyone else anywhere ever will.
We do. And that's why we love our city so much. And I had some people hit me up about Christmas. And because I, you know, they know how I am. They see my photos. I'm talking about on the show about some things to do here. And I said, this is it. I mean, we've been talking about Christmas in the Oaks, and it is such a spectacular thing. And I don't want to like brush it aside. It is open, and definitely take a chance, take some time to go out there and do the tour. You can go online and as Jeff's mentioned last week, and get your tickets, pick your day and time. But there's just so many other things going on around the city in this time of year. And it's so magical, especially if you have little ones. Our World War II museum, which is the number one, or I know Jeff, you can elaborate, is it still the number one museum in the country?
One museum in the country, the number two museum in the world.
Well, they are actually doing something for the holiday season called Cookies with Santa and the Bells. It's every weekend this December on Saturday and Sunday. You can get your tickets, and it's just a magical thing. You can go out there. Of course, they're adhering to all the social distancing rules, but you can go out there and get your picture with Santa and go do the exhibit, and they have Christmas music. And of course, we had mentioned Christmas in the Oaks, which is, you know, officially started, and it's running all the way until January 3rd of 2021. So definitely go check it out. If you've never been, go online. You can see some of the pictures in their gallery. It's definitely worth it going to do the trip, especially because you can do it in your car this year. Stay nice and warm and cozy, especially if you do it over the next couple of days, because like we had mentioned before, it's still going to be kind of chilly. But this is one thing I really wanted to mention, and I don't know if you're real familiar with it. I know, Jeff, you've been to the Roosevelt Hotel and you've seen their Christmas display that they do every year, which is totally free. So if you're in that area and you just kind of want to go pop into a couple of different hotels, definitely check out the Roosevelt. But the Royal Sonesta is doing a Santa pajamas party, and you can bring your kids out there to get hot chocolate or apple cider and decorate your own cookies and see Santa Claus, take pictures with them. Your kids can go out in pajamas. They're hosting that event. It's called Royal Snow Nesta Celebration. And it's also every weekend all the way through to the 20th. And they do have a limited availability in the morning and then afternoon. So definitely check that out too at the Royal Sonesta. Those are three really great events, I think, that New Orleans will be hosting. And I think just this year, especially, take your kids out and go do all those outdoor things for the holidays. I think we're going to have really good Christmassy weather this year, just judging, because normally this time it's still usually warm, but from what I've seen in the next 10 to 14 day forecast, it's going to be relatively cool. So it'd be great to take your kids out there and go to the Sonesta or the Roosevelt or do Christmas in the Oaks or go to the World War II Museum. It is a great display, well worth the time and the money. And there's a parking garage right across the street, and you can bring your family out there and your kids and see Santa Claus. And that way it's a little bit something for everybody in the family.
Right. And look, there's Christmas in New Orleans is always magical. It always has been. And it's, we talk about the weather. Yeah. Whether it's warm or cold, we still find a way to make Christmas magical. And it's a little different. I get it. Don't worry about it. There are still ways that you can go out and enjoy it. Even if you put the kids in the car and go to Lafreniere Park, they're doing their Christmas light display. You do the Christmas in the Oaks. I can tell you, Friday night, I drove past City Park and it was packed. The line went all the way back over the overpass.
You can go out to Metairie and do Lafreniere Park. Lafreniere was my favorite for many years. And then Al Copeland, who was the founder of Popeye's Chicken, he used to have his house display. And there was big, if you grew up in Metairie, you knew about his displays, big issues with his neighbors every year, because I mean, thousands and thousands of people would be driving through a residential neighborhood just to pass by his house to see this display. Well, of course, Al passed away years ago, and his family donated all the lights and decorations to Lafreniere Park. So you can drive out there. I think if I remember correctly, it's $5 a car. Out there and see a lot of them. And then don't quote me on this. I will find out for y'all and post online if it is still going on. But I know that the symphony does a concert usually middle of December. Now, I don't know if they will be, because obviously with COVID, but I'll find out. And if they do, we'll definitely talk about it on the next week's show. But they do have like a little theater out there on the opposite side of where the Carousel Park is. And they do usually host something in the middle of December, and they have Santa Claus out there, and you can, like I said, drive through and see the lights. And if you don't want to go into town and you don't want to, you know, sit in the traffic, because I, like Jeff said, I can't imagine right now there's a lot of people going to Christmas in Oaks.
Right. I mean, look, there's people out and about. I can tell you Black Friday, you know, right after Thanksgiving, that's generally the stores are packed. There weren't a whole lot of that this year, and I think it's good. Of course, we saw, you know, the numbers on the online retail this year are through the roof. Yes. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, they're breaking records left and right.
They're expecting
really solid numbers this year. But if you are a cyber shopper, if you like all of that, that's great. But there are still ways to shop online and support local business. And that's another important part of the puzzle in Christmas 2020. Look, everybody wants the PlayStation 36 or whatever is out now, and everybody wants the hot Nike treads that are out now. But you can go out and support local business and make a big difference in somebody's life and get yourself something pretty neat. These shops all along Magazine, these shops out in the French Quarter, get out and just, you know, make sure that you follow the precautions, do the things the right way, but support your local businesses wherever you are. If you're in New Orleans, if you're in Baton Rouge, if you're in Okinawa, support the local businesses, because they're all struggling right now. And of course, it's great that we have the convenience of online shopping, but all of these small retailers, and some of them have been there for centuries, a long time. It is really important that we continue to try to boost that part of our economy rather than just going back out to the PlayStations and the GameStops and all of that kind of great stuff. You know?
And I do give props to the major retailers this year, because I did notice one difference in the cyber shopping. Black Friday was the whole week, and then they normally, if you do online ordering, they'll say, oh, if you purchase, you know, $50 or more, you get free shipping. Most every retailer that I saw online was offering free shipping regardless. They did not have a minimum. And I thought that was great, because there's a lot of people out there that just, you know, if their kids are home, they can't get to the stores. They don't want to get to the stores. They're advising, like Governor came out and said, don't go out and do Black Friday shopping, do cyber shopping. So we're trying to adhere to all of that. But I mean, if you're wanting to buy just a few odds and ends, for stocking stuffers, or, you know, you do a gift exchange, or the teacher's gifts for your kids' schools. I mean, you're not looking to spend $100. So I don't feel like you should have to spend, you know, $9 to $15 shipping charges. So I really give props to the retailers. That used to just drive me insane if, you know, I wanted to order just one thing and then I had to pay a ridiculous shipping cost. So I really commend them for actually allowing free shipping on everything this year. The few things that I did purchase, my big coveted gift, and you mentioned Nikes or PS5s. I just wanted a pair of friends' pajamas. They were like these fluffy pajamas, and I was able to get them, and I even posted online, and that was my big coveted gift. But then again, you know, I'm like simple. I'm not a gamer or anything like that. So I just wanted my little fuzzy pajamas, and I got those. But yeah, definitely this year, check out your local retailers. If you don't normally get little gifts, I can give you a great idea for your teachers or, you know, friends. If you want to just do a small gift exchange, is ornaments. Ornaments are a great gift to give teachers. And it's something that they get to keep every year. It's not like something, you know, they'll use once and they're finished with. I mean, ornament they can put up every year, and it's a nice remembrance of who gave it to them. That's something that we used to always do whenever we travel and take a vacation. That would be my souvenir to bring back home, is that I would be able to put it on my tree and I'd remember my trip. And then every year I get one with our names engraved. So our tree is very personal. It has 25 years of ornaments. And then of course, all our vacations on top of it. So it's a very, very personal tree. And to my friends too, when they go on vacation, that's what they give me. And it's a very inexpensive thing. And so many of our local shops, like Jeff said, have those type of things. And you could go out there and take a look or order online, and it'd be a nice keepsake, you know, for a friend, family, teacher, and you're supporting local business.
I tell you, look, that the local business is a big deal. And I'm watching some of these businesses really try to stay afloat. And I think it's great that we have access to so many things that we have. But at the same time, you know, I always viewed Christmas shopping differently. And it drives Cherie crazy, trust me, because she's like, all right, let's just go in. We'll get this, this, and this. And I, okay. I want to make sure that whatever gift I get, I don't care how much it costs, but I want it to be personal. I want it to mean something. I want it to go, look, this is something I thought that you would, it's not much, but it's something I thought that you would really like.
And they realize you actually put effort into it. I'm an anti-gift card person. I don't like giving gift cards because it's so impersonal to me. And I want to get something. I don't want somebody to go buy groceries with it, you know, or go buy something for their house that they've been needing, or cleaning products. I want them to get something for them. So I don't do gift cards and never have. When we used to do Secret Santa at work, that was not something everybody would say, oh, just get a gift card. I'm like, no, I want to know what they like and what they don't like. And I would always try to shop local, little boutiques, find something cute that they would really appreciate. So I feel like you, it's the effort, no matter whether you spend $5 or you spend $50, you know, to me, it's the thought that counts.
Value doesn't matter. And I'm watching people that are doing things like they buy a PlayStation 5, and then they turn around online and they try to sell it for $1,500, and they say things like, well, your kid's going to be disappointed. And I go, hold on. You're trying to put value in an electronic device. I get it. I get that it's important. My son is on the PlayStation all the time. But it doesn't take much to really get somebody's attention when you actually put some thought behind what you're doing. And there are so many ways to do that. And inexpensive, look, a lot of people are really struggling financially this year for a whole lot of reasons, but just put some thought into it. Don't just go out and get the, you know, my mom, who I absolutely adore, and she's one of the nicest people on the entire planet. My mom would always do the, well, I'm going to make sure that I give everybody, you know, one of those pocket calendars this year. And I go, okay. So she'd buy, you know, 50 pocket calendars and start handing them out. And I go, mom, like, I get what the, but there's nothing personal about it. There's nothing, I don't care how many people I have to shop for. I don't care what my limitations are. If I've got $5 to spend on the office Christmas gift, I'm going to make sure I put that $5 to good use. And that's the thing. We all have a little more time, a little less social activity, right? So use it wisely. Don't use it staring at your phone. Don't use it staring off into space or playing a video. Put some thought into your gifts this year. More thought, not as much about the money. And I think that can really make a difference in people's Christmas.
And of course, if y'all have questions or you want ideas on some local boutiques that shop and like Flirty Girl, I'm a big fan of Flirty Girl's shop. She's got so much cute stuff and a lot of it's online. A lot of it, if you live in the New Orleans area, I definitely recommend try to go in the store because she doesn't have half her inventory online. But I mean, if you live out of the area, definitely check out some of her stuff online. She has really cute, unique things. A lot of local artists here in New Orleans that she carries different products and cute ornaments, shirts, things for your house. I mean, just really adorable stuff. Dirty Coast is another t-shirt company. They really make some unique things. NOLA t-shirt company has some really cool stuff. And socks. So all these little, you know, local companies, definitely hit us up online. And if you have questions as far as, you know, where you want to take your family this weekend or maybe next weekend, I'll definitely be happy to repost any of this. And I'm going to definitely find out about Fulton Street too, because I know that's a big event. They have the snowfall out there. Just, I don't know if they're doing it this year, but I'll find out for y'all and I'll definitely be posting it online. And as always, I want to thank y'all for joining us. And I hope that everyone has a great week. If you want to find me, I am Tina at The NOLA Girl on Twitter, and our Floors Truly handle is at Floors_Truly. And Jeff, you can tell everyone where they can find you online as well.
Of course, you can find me on the Twitter sphere at The NOLA Rolla. The NOLA Rolla is where you'll find me there. And of course, on Facebook, Jeff Momus. I always spell it out because nobody can get it right. It's M-A-U-M-U-S. That is the French spelling. That is, that's where you can find me. And if you're looking for money, I cannot be listed or found. So I'm sorry.
Well, everyone have a fabulous week. And we will see you next week on Floors Truly. Merry Christmas.
Shop local.
At Acuity Insurance, we believe the things you do for your business are heroic, and you deserve someone equally heroic to protect them. We put our all into covering your business so you can focus on the things you love most. That's the power of heart. Acuity Insurance, wholeheartedly for you. At Acuity Insurance, we believe the things you do for your business are heroic, and you deserve someone equally heroic to protect them. We put our all into covering your business so you can focus on the things you love most. That's the power of heart. Acuity Insurance, wholeheartedly for you.